Hello and welcome to the Inner Gamer episode 160. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brett Yanosky.
I'm Devin DeRee.
And I'm Luis Gonzalez.
Today on the Inner Gamer, we play Deep Rock Galactic, and I give a review of Owlboy on the Nintendo Switch. Moving into our gaming news, Battlefield 5, going to be going back to World War II. Nintendo is not releasing any new Switches or 2.0s. Trump is meeting with the video game industry, quote unquote, but he's not really. It's interesting. We'll talk more about it. Ubisoft purchased one of our favorite games this year, so this is great news there. Some news from Oculus Rift, and then Metal Gear Survive has a secret message. Moving into our discussion topic, it's all about the Nintendo Switch 1 year later. What
Happy
have
birthday.
We seen? Happy birthday, Nintendo Switch!
Happy birthday, Mr. Switch.
Happy birthday,
Miyamoto.
Well, this was like a really solid intro, and then it just derailed. Okay, it's about the Nintendo Switch a year later. Cue the music.
It is March 6th, 2018. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we would love for you to support us on Patreon. For as little as $12 a year, you can make this podcast better, and we'll give you some goodies along the way. And we just added the ability to send a one-time donation. If you don't want to give us a recurring donation, you can just send us $50.
If you don't want that debit card to hit every month, you can just do
the
one time.
You went straight to $50. You're like, $50. Let's get them right now.
You don't have to do $12 a year. You can just do the one-time donation of $2,000. It's just a one-time, just like it's done. One and done.
I like how there's a part in South Park, the game, where you have to, if you want to stop the ninjas from City Walk from attacking you, you pay $5,000. And there's no way you can get $5,000 in South Park, hardly. So it's pretty hilarious. But yeah, go over to theinnergamer.net/donate and you can choose your donation option. We would love for you to help support us. Let's talk about some video games. So we have a couple new games that came out this week or that have been coming out. One in particular that me and Austin have been playing with our buddies over at Nerd Sloth is Deep Rock Galactic.
You guys have been like not shutting the hell up about this in the Slack chat, so I can only imagine how fun it is.
Yeah, so it's a weird, interesting game. So I remember when they launched it at they announced it at E3 during the Microsoft press conference. I was like, this looks really intriguing. There's this whole underground like hack away at stuff, 4-player co-op. I mean, like, I feel like this may come down as the year of 4-player co-op games, because there's already been like 4 or 5 to come out, and we still have Far Cry 5. We have A Way Out coming out. We have maybe Anthem. Like Sea of Thieves is coming out. Like all these games that are all co-op experiences. Like there's just so many coming out, and I love it. But this game is Xbox and PC. It's a play anywhere game. So if you buy it on Xbox, it works on PC and vice versa. So that's really exciting. I haven't figured out how to play with Xbox players yet. I was trying to play with Charlie, and it was not letting me do it very well. But in this game, you are a bunch of dwarves, and each dwarf has its particular specialty. So, for example, you have one that is a gunner who just can mow down enemies. Like, he has a lot of firepower.
Okay.
There is a scout that has a shotgun and a rifle and a sawed-off shotgun. But he also has the ability to have a flare. He has a flare gun that he can shoot off flares and have them stick to walls, so he can go ahead and like track down and see what's way ahead of us. Whereas every other player has flares that they just throw, and it's like a stick that just like lobs down the way. So it lights up the floor, but you can't see like way up or far away or anything like that. And then you have a driller that has two massive drills that he can just drill through anything really easily and create paths that weren't there before. Everything in this world is destructible. The floor, the ceiling, the walls, like everything. You could literally burrow through the entire map from one side to the other, but it would probably take you forever. Because if you're not a driller, you have an axe and you're just like hacking away, and it takes two or three hits to like break away some piece of like ore or rock or whatever.
Right.
Like in Minecraft, where you have to hit a couple times, but you're not doing blocks. You're doing little pieces of geometry. And sometimes you have this like little V sticking out that you have to just keep hacking at, and then it creates another V, and then you can't get through the hole, even though you've made a big enough hole. It's challenging. It's really challenging. But
it's not, you're describing a geometry class to me right now.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. Totally.
Just with explosions.
It's a bunch of polygons. I love it. And then there's a engineer who can put down defensive structures and turrets and stuff like that. So I love how every character has its very powerful, it has its own ability amongst the larger team. And having a four-man team really makes a huge difference in this game, because the way it's kind of set up is you drop in. And what we've unlocked so far is the mining missions, which is you have to mine a set number of ore or elements or whatever in the world. Once you get it, you call in for a pickup, and then this like drilling thing comes down. You get back in it and you go up to the surface. So until you find all of that, you have to survive. And the enemies are these massive bugs that want to kill you in so many ways. And there's these little crawly bugs that run really fast and just surround you in swarms like zombie bugs. And then there's an exploding bug that if you shoot a couple times, it just blows up. And then there's a poison acid bug that shoots out acid at you. And then there's one that's this big, huge hulking tank bug that has armor all over him, except on the back, he has this green like blob that you have to shoot to damage him. Otherwise, you're not doing any damage to this guy.
You sound like you're describing Helldivers almost.
Yeah, it actually is a lot like Helldivers, except 3D and completely destructible environments.
And completely destructible environments.
Yeah, it really is a lot like Helldivers.
That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Dude, it's so good. Yeah.
Y'all, hey, on the chat, y'all have been talking about it being very difficult. Is it difficult? Like, you've been talking about, like, all the different, like, game mode, not game modes, I guess, yeah. Like, difficulty levels. Like, yeah. Is it really that hard?
Helldivers
hard? Because Helldivers is fucking hard, man.
Yeah, Helldivers is ridiculously hard.
It's not as hard as Helldivers, I don't think, but it's hard if you don't have a full team. Because, like, every character, every class is so unique and crucial to the game that if you're missing one of your, like, for example, the engineer who has the turrets.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have the engineer on your team to put down those turrets to help fight off bad guys, like, you're screwed.
So, like, we're really talking dependency on,
yeah,
on a full spread team.
Right. And there's certain characters, like, there's one of them, I think it's the gunner. Or one of the characters has zip lines, three zip lines, a zip line gun. He's the only character that has it. So if you're in a world where you have to get from one side of the map to the other, but there's like no way to get there, he can just drop a zip line and everybody can use that zip line to get back and forth.
And everybody loves zip lines.
Yeah, but nobody else can do that. The scout has an ability to use a grappling hook so he can grapple himself up on top of high places and get out of there. But the other characters can't do that.
So everybody else is literally screwed by terrain if they don't have somebody there to help them overcome it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like me and one of our buddies, Chris, that we met through the Nerd Sloth guys, we were playing one the other night on Friday, and we're in this map. There's different areas you go to. For example, there's like a lava area where there's just like a bunch of spewing lava underground that's like shooting up, and very small platforms to go through, and it's just a maze all over the place. And then you have like an ice kind of world where it's really cold and frozen underneath. And you have different types of places, but it's randomly generated maps. So every 20 minutes or so, there's new missions that become available. So you constantly have new worlds that you can explore and visit. And they just like generate these things that are on a timer that give you certain rewards for that mission. So it's like an ongoing persistence, like, mission list that you can play through.
Right.
But we were playing and he was playing as a scout. He was a scout and I was a gunner. So we didn't have our driller guy and we didn't have our support engineer. So I had the zip lines, which was great, but then I didn't realize that my zip lines only had three rounds of ammunition. So once I put down three rounds, we didn't have enough money to buy a supply drop, which allows us to get more ammo, which also includes zip lines. So we had put down the zip lines and we found our minerals we need to get, but it was across this giant chasm that the only way to get to it would have been to have a zip line. So then we're like, well, shit, now we got to go figure out how to drill all the way through this massive rock around this chasm to get to these minerals we need to finish the game. Then we get there, we get the minerals, and then a swarm of bugs come, and there's two of those tank bugs and just fucks us up and kills us all.
Dude, for a second there, I thought you were describing the plot of Armageddon.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I was like, I feel like you're describing a Warner Brothers flick right now. Like, was Bruce Willis in the level?
He came later.
Yeah. I've never missed a depth, like something crazy like that. I've been drilling for 35 years.
The drill will hold.
I made my daughter a promise that I was going home. And my God, I don't break promise, some shit like that. Fucking Bruce Willis. Man, now I really have to play Deep Rock Galactic.
Dude, it's a cool game. I mean, it's not a game that you play by yourself. It's not a solo game at all. But if you have like a couple of friends that just get on every once in a while, and that's the other nice thing too. Every mission
guess
is
I
like,
don't have any friends. I can't
play. I know. I will play this. I will play this a lot, actually. With
damn,
this one.
Luis.
I'm by myself. It's all right. I'll have friends soon, I think.
Some of the missions are like anywhere from 20 to 45 minutes. So that's what you're kind of getting yourself into. So okay. If you just get people to jump in and do that. Like I really like it because it has some of the interest of Minecraft, but then it also has some feelings of Left 4 Dead and like the swarms of stuff coming after you. And it's got a bunch of bugs. And then your dwarves. So they're hilarious. They have these like gigantic beards. And when you start out, you're in this like lobby hub area where you go up to this, the thing that takes you down, the drill that takes you down underneath the ground. But the in elevator? There, you can get cosmetics and you can upgrade your armor and stuff with the money you get in the game.
Yeah.
And it's really expensive, but eventually you can get all kinds of cool shit to change the look of your character, to make him more powerful.
You can change the way your beard is look the way
you can change
looks.
The color of your beard and everything. Oh my you can God. Be clean shaven if you want.
No, that's dumb. Dwarves have beards.
And then way off in the distance, they have a jukebox. So you can go turn the jukebox on. And when you do that, there's like rock, country, and whatever. It's all random. And then your character goes in third person and starts doing a little dance. Then you can have your friends come over and do a little dance with you. And it's the best thing ever.
It sounds like a really involved co-op game. Like they really took the time to pump up the co-op aspect of this.
Yeah. And it's such a simple, I mean, granted the systems in it are so complex, but it's such a really well executed game. Like I didn't run into many bugs. Well, at literal bugs I did, but not like game breaking bugs, you know, just the creature bugs.
Right.
It's really well designed and it's simple, but there's like this loop mechanic of like, I just want to get in there and I want to collect my resources and see if I can beat this guy and get more shit to unlock more stuff. And I'm excited to see what else they do with it. Cause I think there's a lot of potential to add more cosmetic items in here and just make yourself look cooler and more badass. And, yeah, it's fun. I like it a lot. It's a dig, literally dig. Digging
no,
rock.
You had me through that entire fucking review, and I'm like, yeah, this is great. And now I want to hate it and burn you, or and hate it.
I can't wait till we play Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse because there's so many
stupid
in that game.
Puns. I'm sure. All right,
so puns.
I won't play that game until I learn how to say it.
What?
Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse. Oh my God, I got
it
right.
It.
Yeah.
Yes, I guess I got to play it.
It's
now.
Downloading now.
Anyway, so that game is made by Ghost Ship Games. Really good. Check it out.
How much is it?
Out now. It is $24.99.
Okay.
So
not bad. Not a bad price
I
for
think worth
what
it.
Yeah,
sure.
For what it sounds like that you're being offered.
Yeah. And it's early access. So in early access, like it feels complete, which still is that's awesome. So
polish, 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 man. That's what hear. That's what we hear devs talk about.
That's right.
That 90% of your game is the last 10%.
Yep. So anyway, Devin.
Yeah.
Tell us some Owlboy on Switch.
Hey, guess what? I've been playing my Switch. Big surprise.
Surprise.
true to form, I saw something pop up on my feature screen when you first turn on your Switch, and I saw that Owlboy was available for the Nintendo Switch. For any of you who don't know, Owlboy is a game made by D-Pad Studios. Came out a couple years ago. We talked with the developers. Feel free to head over to the InnerGamer YouTube channel where you can see me interview the guys who made it. And yeah, it is a 2D high pixel art twin stick shooter featuring Otis, the Owlboy, and man, I don't know if either of you have played this one before, but this game is a ton of fun. It's like it's got a very heart in like a very heartfelt, endearing story as you follow Otis and his friends as they adventure around the world, fighting off pirates and bad guys, and you explore these owl tombs. The gameplay is interesting on the Switch. I will give it, like, I could tell that this was like first made for like an actual controller, but playing it on the Switch, it does translate very well. It's just fun, man. There's like, I don't know how many levels there are, but like flying around as the Owlboy, like your interaction with flying around in this, like you don't touch the ground hardly at all. Like I feel like I'm just like literally flying around everywhere talking with all the characters that you come across.
Yeah. Is it a challenging game or is it just more kind of, I mean, average difficulty, but more about the story and the interactions with the world and stuff like that?
No, it's got a fair amount of difficulty to it. Like, okay. Because one of the key elements of the gameplay is the fact that Otis is an Owlboy. He doesn't have any like overt strong powers. Like he's got a little spin attack that you would like kind of equate to like Mario when he does a spin attack or whatever.
Right.
But that's it. Like he can't break down. He can't break through barriers. He can't really kill enemies that he comes across or monsters. That's where he has his friends come in.
Okay.
Like one of his best friends is Getty, and Getty is the chief engineer around their city with all the defenses and stuff. So Otis, the Owlboy, will pick up Getty and fly him around, and Getty has a little blaster that he shoots enemies around with. So that's where the twin stick shooter comes into play. So you're flying around as Otis, but you're also carrying Getty who shoots stuff.
Wait, so like left stick, you're controlling Owlboy.
Yep.
Right stick, you're shooting.
You're aiming with Getty to blast
stuff. Cool.
It is actually really intriguing. And you start picking up more people as you play the game. So I just picked up a pirate, Alphonse.
So you're never really doing, I mean, you said you can attack, but really you're using other people in the game that you meet that are doing your attacks essentially, and you're just flying them.
Correct.
That's cool.
That's where some of the interesting gameplay comes into place, because there are some enemies who have like armor on.
Yeah.
And Getty can't shoot through the armor. So you as Otis have to go up to them, fly up, spin attack to knock the armor off, go pick up Getty, and then shoot them.
Louise, did you know your dog was an Owlboy?
Yeah, I've been hearing Otis this whole time, and I'm looking around. I'm like, who's calling my dog? You bastards. I did not know, honestly.
That's funny. That's cool.
Yeah, but it's really cool. And like I was mentioning, I got a new character I can carry around. His name is Alphonse. He's a former pirate turned good guy, but he doesn't have like a blaster gun like Getty does, where it's just like pew pew pew. He has a giant blunderbuss.
Oh, wow.
And it's like this giant spread, but it can only go like 2 feet. So you have to be like up on the enemy to hurt them or whatever. But man, it's a lot of fun. And the boss battles are really intriguing. Like it's a nice sort of environmental puzzle that kind of melds into a shooter in a way. So there's a lot of really cool elements that they've done to like integrate the gameplay into the environment because you're flying around so much.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
It's been a ton of fun. It was only like $20 on the Nintendo shop. So
I bought it on Steam a long time ago, but I haven't gone into it yet, but I might get it on the Switch because that's a Switch game.
You carry it with
you.
It's a Switch game, man. Just carry it with you and play it. It's why I sunk 45 hours into Celeste.
So crazy.
12,000 deaths.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God.
incredible.
I know I shouldn't like be bragging about that. Yeah, I soaked 45. No. I'm about three levels in, I think. Well, I've encountered three different areas so far into Owlboy, and I'm having a lot of fun right now. The story is actually very it's a nice mix of like cutesy as well as like very intense at times.
Yeah.
And very, very engaging. So it's fun. The characters are fun. I've only gotten three other characters that you Otis can carry, but you have like six slots. So I can only imagine how many other characters I'm supposed to be picking up to carry.
Yeah.
As Otis.
I love how all these games, like all these indie games that we play, the platformers and stuff like that, they focus on one mechanic, one thing that makes them unique. And we love it. I mean, like there's nothing
difficult about a twin stick shooter in a way. Like you just kind of move around, but they've put it in a platformer. I say platformer with air quotes, where you're not platforming, you're flying.
Right.
And that's such a unique.
But it still has the design of a platformer.
It still has the design of a platformer. Like this the two dimensional, like you're flying around the level, but you're seeing all these different platforms and stuff you can stand on, but it doesn't matter because you're not touching them. Like I said, I don't hardly ever touch the ground.
Now, can you walk on the ground?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. You can run and jump and do normal platforming things. I don't do that because that's dumb. I'm an owl boy and I'm going to fly. So that's what owls do.
I'm a real boy.
I'm a real owl, and I fly.
I'm an owl boy.
It is cute because Otis is a mute, and they actually address that. They're like, don't expect Otis to say anything. He's a mute, and your character just kind of looks at them with this little like cute grin on his face, like I don't say anything ever. But everybody else talks to you.
Nice.
So it's fun. I know you got it on Steam. I highly suggest it on the Switch. Just. We're going to talk more about this later, but it's just the perfect platform for it. So
awesome.
Enjoy.
Well, that is going to wrap it up for the games we played this week, everybody. Stay tuned for our video game news. We have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, man.
A lot of good, exciting things.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. And first up, we have some news on Battlefield. We talked about earlier this year that we know there's a Battlefield coming. We just don't know what it's going to be. We now have lights on that subject matter, thanks to some information that came out through the grapevine, through the news wires.
A little bit of insider stuff here and there. Yeah.
It came out initially as it was a game called Battlefield 2, possibly. Internally was the name it was called, but they've now given reason to believe through a leaked screenshot showing a developer build of Battlefield 5, labeled, stylized, as Battlefield V. So
Battlefield V. Ugh.
It's interesting to me about this. Anyway, so this is supposedly going to be World War II, so they're returning to World War II. Akin to Call of Duty doing that last year. So they did the Battlefield 1, World War 1 game, maybe going back to World War 2. I'm excited about this. I'm sure there's going to be some naysayers out there. They're like, oh, they're just copying Call of Duty and stuff like that. But I don't think it's a big deal. I'm pretty pumped, and I just love Battlefield. So I hope they don't bork it like they did with Battlefront. But there's a lot of stuff coming out saying that they've like realize after the fuck up that they have a Battlefront that there will be no microtransactions unless they're cosmetic. So if you have microtransactions,
they can't afford to mess up Battlefield, dude.
No.
Battlefield's a huge cash cow for them.
I feel like that's one of their few brands that they have left that they haven't tarnished completely.
Man, now I want to play Battlefield 1. Damn.
I know, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly a good point that they're coming out directly and saying there's not going to be microtransactions. And even if we do, they're only going to be cosmetic. Like, I feel like that should just be a standard of, yeah, of course that's the case. What about the actual game itself? And I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a reflection of like what the time that we're in right now with video games being what they are, and that some devs have to come out immediately to defend. No. We're not going to be gouging you with microtransactions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, good for a new game. I'm not exactly so thrilled about another World War II game, but eh.
Did you ever pick up Battlefield 1?
No.
Okay.
I played it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. I played and liked it, but it's just, I didn't have enough people that were, that's a game that you really need a a group of people playing with.
A dedicated group of people who want to be like, we want to play Battlefield two or three times a week or whatever.
I used to do that all the time back in the day, but now, like, I mean, Austin, we used to do that, but he moved on to other games pretty quick, and now PUBG came out, and that's taken everybody away from me, and so is Overwatch. So it's just hard to get into it unless you have that group of people that are just wanting to do that all the time. But I've been watching, like, following their roadmap and the updates they've been bringing out, like the premium pass. Like, I hated the premium pass when they first announced it on the, I think it was Battlefield 3 that they brought that out, because it's $49.99
God,
for basically a whole entire, it's four expansion packs essentially. But I eventually bought it and felt it was well worth it because the content was so good. I mean, you get four new maps with every pack. And so in total, you get 16 new maps when it's all over with. And you get a bunch of new weapons, some new game modes, like all kinds of stuff comes in that $50. So it's like buying a second version of the game.
Yeah.
So it's worth it. And this one, this time around, like, they added naval battles with, like, old school submarines and stuff like that, which was really awesome.
Yeah.
And lots of aerial combat and stuff like that. So there's some good stuff happening. I really enjoyed it. Are you tweeting right now?
I'm taking a picture.
Oh, I was going to say, you should tweet. You should tweet about
He's
what
actually
we're doing.
Just taking a picture of you so he can have it.
Oh, that's good.
For scientific reasons. Shift the eyes. Anyway,
so that's some Battlefield 5 news. I'm sure we'll get some trailers dropping here very soon. I hear March, or we are in March. I hear later this March we're going to get some drops. In addition, let's talk about some Nintendo for a second. We're going to talk a lot about Nintendo later on, but I want to quickly note, Nintendo is not currently planning a Switch 2.0. They are going to get by on peripherals alone, supposedly. So there could be one eventually, but as of right now, there's no plan to build a Switch 2.0. They're just thinking that they're going to bring out new peripherals and things like that to keep the cash flow coming in through the thing. And then also their games, which are just doing really well. Nintendo Labo is one of those things that will be part of the peripheral lineup that they're talking about. So, excited to see what that is. But anybody who's looking for, like, a Switch XL or a Switch Mini or anything like that,
the Switch XL,
Actually, I did see an article today that somebody hacked together a Switch XL. He took, like, a 17-inch, like, laptop screen or something somehow and made it to where it supports the Joy-Cons on the side and can now play on this, like, 17-inch screen. I guess the Switch, like, platform. I don't know how he did it, but that happened. So there you go.
You know, I mean, I am a little bummed that I'm going to have to wait until I can get some Joy-Cons that actually fit in my long spindly finger hands, but that's okay. I can deal with it for now.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Then again, I play my Switch for an enormous amount of time.
Yeah.
That is probably unhealthy, but whatever.
Yeah. Your hands are just, like, getting it all, like, tight and stuff.
Oh, man, yeah.
And, like, holding it for so long.
Yeah, cramps. Major hand cramps. Yeah.
So bad.
Especially when I'm playing Celeste.
Especially when you're playing Celeste, exactly. That gets tiring. Like, having to do all the jump maneuvers and stuff like that,
It takes precision timing, and it makes me for white knuckle gaming, which when you're gripping a normal controller is fine, but with these tiny Joy-Cons, it hurts.
Yes. So next topic we have, last week we talked about President Trump meeting, actually talking about video games.
He was talking about the video game
issues.
And now we actually have further development.
Yes. Now he is meeting with unspecified people in the gaming business to see what we can do about video games and the things
they're doing
to us.
Do you know who those people are not?
ESA.
Or the ESRB.
Or the ESRB. Yeah. Yeah. They're not including what should be in the conversation, which is because the ESA is one, they're the ones, the Electronic Software Association, they put on a E3,
yeah,
and they do a lot of lobbying for video game industry in DC. So, like,
don't invite them.
Yeah, but last time, so I did read that back in 2013 when Joe Biden met with the video game industry for a similar reason to talk about how we can make games better, he did meet the president or one of the vice presidents of Electronic Arts. So obviously they're going to be there because EA is EA.
Yeah, he's actually just going to meet with Sean Murray and Peter Molyneux. That's it.
God, what a room full of putrid bullshit.
You guys make great games. We need to talk about them.
We could talk about all the success that your games have had. I've heard great things about your games.
And I love games. Trump the Game was one of the best games
of all time. I hear that there are these
things
called simulators where you can build walls. I would like to maybe get some mock-ups if I can. Have you played this game?
I believe it's called Minecraft.
I want to make a
Dragon Quest Builders
Trump Hotel Simulator 2020. Build my own Trump Hotel.
Is it true that I would be able to build the wall out of solid gold?
Dude, Trump is the type of dude who plays Roblox and absolutely loves it. And Roblox is fun, but like when you're not taking it seriously, but I bet he takes it seriously.
I have the highest score on Roblox.
He just calls
He's probably the kind of gamer who in RuneScape was like, he's one of those who typed in their password when you said, type your password, it blinks it out, look.
Or
he would type in his password and then get hacked.
Free coconut.
Alt F4, dude.
I don't know.
Oh, it's so perfect.
So that's that topic. So PlayStation Plus, they are doing some changes to their platform. And if you guys get PlayStation Plus, if you're a subscriber, which if you play online, you are, you'll know that they give you free games every month that just come as part of the subscription. And 2019, they are going to be dropping support of dropping free PS3 games and PS Vita games from that delivery. So you used to get Vita games, which were most likely going to be crossplay with PS4.
Sure.
That stuff's going out. PS3 is going to be going away. Now you're going to be just getting exclusively PS4 games, which
I'm
okay with.
It's so crazy. And this month, oh my God.
Yeah, there's a lot.
PS Plus games this month are good.
It's a lot.
Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank, guys.
You are playing Bloodborne this month. Like, I'm making that, like, that is a set in stone that is written in the cosmos, like, that I am making.
They're both
Game
of the Years.
Literally in the last like 3 or 4 months, like I've gotten for free, well, not for free, but with the subscription, I'm going to get Bloodborne, Ratchet and Clank, Metal Gear Solid 5, like
Knack.
The hell?
Yeah, Infamous Knack. Second Son.
Like, who does this? I don't know.
Until
love it.
Dawn, like there's some good, and they're all PlayStation games. Like they're just,
yeah,
they're awesome.
Good. Yeah.
They're so awesome.
Yeah. They're really doing a good job with the PlayStation Plus.
Killing it,
stuff.
Man.
Yeah.
Killing it. Love it.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see like 8 PS4 titles pretty soon here.
Oh, I want
like
to
all
do
at
that.
One time. Oh my God, it's gonna be so good.
Oh no, take that back. It says that the monthly PlayStation Plus lineups will consist only of 2 free PS4 games.
Damn it!
So you're only gonna get 2
maybe
a month.
They'll be better.
That's okay. I mean, I think they're gonna be like the quality of this month, Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank. Like if they keep that kind of thing going, like I think that'd be awesome. Or like throwing an indie game in there and then a bigger game, like a Bloodborne and then a, you know, Owlboy or something like that. Like I'd be cool with that too.
Here's a small little thing I just found out. EA's stock has finally tipped back over the 125 per share mark.
Like, you mean going up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so pissed.
They've been in a huge slump as of late.
I said, I was like, right when that stuff happened, I was like, now's the time to buy stock. And I didn't buy stock in it. And I could have made some money on it.
You could have had one share, one stock of EA.
No, I would have had more than that. I would have just gone.
Would you really have bought that much?
I mean, I would have bought some, man, because let me look at it. It went back up. Like, the quick money you could have made. You could have made like a couple grand off of that.
A couple of grand.
I mean, it depends how much cash reserves you got.
I'm not enough that I'd want to dip any into EA, but let's continue.
So speaking of money and acquisitions and things, this is a really interesting story here. Thank you to Luis for pointing this out to us yesterday. I think this is really exciting.
Yeah.
Brawlhalla, the studio that made Brawlhalla, Blue Mammoth Games, we've talked about them on the podcast. We've had
them on the podcast. We have seen them at damn near every single like PAX that we've been
every
to.
Every event. We play their game at our events. Like it's Smash Brothers like game. If you guys haven't played it, I'm sure you have. It's one of the top 100 most played games on Steam. It's free to play. They just got purchased, the company, by Ubisoft. So Ubisoft added them to their lineup of their online stable and everything. So that's a big acquisition for them. Like for them to be purchased by Ubisoft, that's a big deal. And now Ubisoft owns Brawlhalla's property, basically. So they can build it into their Uplay system, which isn't as exciting, but that's okay. But I'm still excited. I think it's good for Brawlhalla as long as they keep them and, you know, they don't mess anything up with it. But Ubisoft, like, I have a love-hate relationship with Ubisoft because they are the studio that they are one of those top dogs like EA and Activision and all these publishers that are huge and massive behemoths and stuff like that. But looking at Ubisoft's lineup and history,
yeah,
like they've made a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
They were outputting too much Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
They were getting, they were not doing the right things, I feel like, with Far Cry. They Correct. Were making all these just stuff that wasn't good. But
you're not selling it right now.
Yeah, but I feel like they're starting to get back on a trend of positivity because, like, Assassin's Creed Origins was incredible. And I hear they're making that into a trilogy like they did with Assassin's Creed 2. So that's a good sign, I think, as long as they give it enough time. Far Cry 5, despite the negatives I have on it, I think will actually probably be a well-reviewed game. Rainbow Six Siege is like killing it right now. It got terrible reviews when it first came out because it just wasn't to the point it was, but they kept supporting it and pushing updates to it and making it better. And now everybody and their dog plays that game. I hear about it all the time. And For Honor, I think, is doing better now. I don't know. I haven't paid attention to it too much. And South Park is good.
I couldn't tell you. Yeah, South Park's getting an absolute rave reviews.
Yeah, so, and I've been playing the heck out of that still, trying to finish it. But all of their properties are commercial successes in every sense of the word.
I would just like to see them break past that barrier of mediocrity. Really like taking like a really big step into the forefront of making some really high quality games that are just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I do think from an overall standpoint, this is good news for the guys over at Brawlhalla. Like that's great for them. I think this is going to be wonderful to watch their game get the attention that I think it truly deserves. So.
Right. So yeah, good on them.
Definitely good on them, man. That that support system is going to be huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Going to be huge. Just hope they stay true to themselves, man. And congratulations for sure, man.
Yep. Congrats, guys, from Brawlhalla.
Yeah. Next topic we have, and my link is broken right now, but I want to talk about
Why is your
this.
Link broken?
I don't know. It's really weird.
What'd you break?
HTVive.
What'd you do? What have you done?
There's a backslash that's missing.
Yeah, this came straight from my article thing here. I don't know why it broke. Anyway, so here we go.
Brett fucked up his laptop.
I know. It's terrible. So the Oculus Rift. We haven't talked about VR in a while, so I figured I'd throw this in here real quick.
I know. Dude, I have so many games because VR games now come with PS Plus, so I always get them.
Oh,
there are so many games that I still need to play,
shit,
dude.
I need to start taking advantage of that. Forgot about that. Damn it. Oculus Rift passes HTC Vive in the Steam hardware survey for the first time. So there's a voluntary survey in Steam that allows you to vote for, you know, like things that you are using and stuff like that. And in the survey, the Oculus Rift counted for 47% of virtual reality headset usage on Steam in February, while HTC came in at 45%. What's ironic about this is the HTC Vive was built for Steam and the Oculus Rift was not. So that kind of gives you an idea of the success of the Oculus Rift over time versus the HTC Vive. Apparently HTC Vive is also HTC in general is in a lot of trouble right now. They're struggling as a hardware company a little bit, but hopefully the HTC Vive Pro helps that because it looks like it's a pretty good product.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was really interesting. I mean, the Oculus is still killing it. Like I still jump on that thing every once in a while. I haven't reviewed any games, but...
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's like We haven't seen VR kind of slink away from the limelight. I mean, it's not exactly been in the forefront, but it's still there. It's still present. It's still making contributions, whether it be games or hardware or whatever kind of apparatus you want to look at. But it's still there. And I mean, maybe here within the next 3 to 5 years, we'll see it make some real big changes that.
Yeah, I definitely don't think, I think we're finally, I still believe we're at a point where VR is not something that's just a gimmick that's here like 3D TV it kind of was. Like, I think VR is here to last for like a while.
Dirty TV, dude. I forgot about that.
Oh my god, wasn't that awful?
It was so bad.
Yeah,
it was real bad.
Do you like want to have a headache for the next 3 years? Buy yourself a 3D TV.
I was over.
Do you
want
to buy some stupid ass glasses? Buy them here. They're $1,000.
I was over at my friend's house.
How do you even watch? Like, hey guys, let's have a movie party. Bring your 3D glasses. Like, oh god,
Luis, no one has those.
No, VR is finding its stride, I think, and yeah. I think it will be a little bit less video game. I mean, video games are like the proving grounds for them, right? Let's see what this shit can do.
Right.
And I think companies are going to start picking up on it very, very soon.
Man, they brought out that Assassin's Creed Origins Discovery Mode recently, the DLC where you can basically explore the entire world of Assassin's Creed, but there's no combat. It's just a history lesson walkthrough of the world.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I really want to try that, but I feel like that would be such a good thing to port over to VR.
Yeah.
Like just being able to travel through ancient Egypt in this.
Magic school bus, dude.
Oh,
fuck yeah.
Oh my god.
That would be
great
so cool
idea.
In VR.
Holy shit. I didn't even think about that. Or hell, reading
imagine
Rainbow
like,
in VR.
Imagine like the cosmos, like yeah. with feckin' Neil deGrasse Tyson was
just take
in
a
VR.
Look. It's in a book. It's VR Rainbow. VR Rainbow.
Or fucking
wow.
What is it?
That's good.
What is it? Hanging out with Bob Ross. What's the series called?
I forgot. I know what you're talking about though.
Imagine painting with Bob Ross and you're just like it.
Just paint a happy tree.
Well, that's good though. I know Oculus dropped their price, and so I'm glad that they're doing well.
Wait, they dropped their price? What are they down to?
Well, I mean, it's still I think it's $399 or whatever. But
yeah, but it's like much less than it was before.
But that's with the Oculus Touch controllers. I mean, it's from. I think it's worth it.
Oh my god!
I still use my VR headset a lot. I mean, it gets used. And we have a good, exciting game we're going to talk about in the upcoming video game releases later on. So that'll be good. Last but not least, we have Metal Gear Survive. This is a game that nobody has played. I don't think
or
anybody
once.
Will play. I've been listening to reviews. Too. People are like, this is a game that I want to like. It's got all these things that they try to do.
I don't even want to like it.
But it's just not good, and it's just not working well, and the loop's kind of interesting, but basically just mediocre reviews. Like, I've seen 6s and 7s across the board, so that sucks. But there is a potential hidden message
dude,
in the game.
Respect to the devs, man. Kojima-san.
What was the hidden message?
Potentially Kojima Productions Forever. So somebody found in the game, there is a clipboard essentially that has a list of names. And on said clipboard is names such as Hungry Komodo Dragon, Black Jackal, Thunder Parrot, High Tide, Midnight Falcon, Gray Ostrich, Bloody Raven, etc., etc. And if you look at those last names of these people's like names, it spells out KJP Forever, which could be Kojima Productions Forever.
Interesting.
And at the very end, they put the final two things that are labeled AWOL, Bastard Yota, and Cunning Yuji, which are the I think it's a creative director and the head of something on the game. Basically, there are two guys that are like listed on the Wikipedia page as the main guys behind Metal Gear Survive. So they put on there that it's some relationship to these guys. So I don't know if it's a employee that works at Konami who is basically like, fuck you, Konami, all about Kojima, or yeah. Maybe Kojima did that before he left somehow.
It was like his last little FU. Who knows, man? Both seem like viable sources.
Yep. So it's pretty interesting. But yeah, just kind of a cool little tidbit.
Too bad I'll never play the game to see it.
No, I'm never going to do it either. Screw it. Unless it comes on PS Plus for free. I might download it. Try it out. See what it's like. Oh, you know what else is really fascinating? I was listening to people talk about, you know, this game is like being promoted as a co-op game, right? Like that's what everybody thinks it is. Apparently there's like a huge story in here and the co-op is kind of like a secondary thought in the game. Who marketed this thing?
I don't know, man. Konami's dumb. They make slot machines now. Like I
don't
I don't re- No respect, dude.
Fucking none understand.
For that. None for him.
Anyway, so that's going to wrap it up for our video game news. If there's something we missed, we want to hear from you. Email us at hello@theinnergamer.net and we can talk about it next week. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, give us a review on iTunes or a rating. We would very well appreciate it. It'll help us get found better. And yeah, and if
please
you're on Spotify,
make it a positive rating.
You can listen to us on Spotify.
We're on Spotify.
We'll be back after the break with our discussion on the Switch.
Oh,
1 year later.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
We are here to talk about something very near and dear to our hearts.
Yes.
And souls. It is the Nintendo Switch. 1 year
the
later.
The Nintendo Switch.
Nintendo Switch had its 1 year anniversary Saturday, March 3rd. If you are listening to this on Tuesday, then you know that it's then.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this any other time, then you will know that it was a couple days ago. Either way, it is very exciting.
Yeah.
And
it's great.
We love it.
A year later.
So in the last year, like, a lot has happened.
Yep.
The Switch came out.
Yep.
It's completely changed our outlook, I feel like, on video games in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I want to talk about is looking back on the Switch's first year. So going through kind of the timeline, the segments, the quarters, if you will, of the Switch as a group. So let's go back to March 3rd, 2017.
Actually, let's go back a little bit further than that.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember a while back, you and I did a live stream of our reaction to Nintendo's...
Yeah.
Announcement,
yeah,
expo, I guess you could call it, where they were talking about all the features of the Nintendo Switch, all the things that it could do, and at the end of it, the big, huge announcement was that the launch game for the Nintendo Switch was going to be Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild.
Dang, that's right.
And people lost their damn minds, me included.
Right.
And, you know, I think in looking back at that reflectively, while I may have had a very, I don't want to say pessimistic outlook, but I definitely had some hesitancies when I was watching that conference and I was watching, like, you know, those are some kind of cool features, but yeah, really, what is that going to do for me playing some of these games? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, this console is one of my absolute favorite pieces of video game hardware I've ever owned.
Ever. Yeah.
Ever.
I think we can all kind of, you know, definitely agree on that, because it's I don't play it as much as I did when I first got it, but it's still something that is with me as much as my phone, almost.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I carry it with me everywhere I go. So if there's ever a moment where I'm like, I need to play something, I have that Switch ready to go.
Mine's always with me.
Always charged. It's good to go. And it's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, like, the press conference, like, crazy. And it's funny, when it first came out, especially the first couple months when it was out, like, we didn't really, everybody was like, I'm going to wait on the buying the Switch, because it's just like, I mean, it's just Zelda. Like, there's nothing else on there but Zelda. That's all I want, all I need. And I don't know if I'm going to spend $300 on a Zelda console.
You know, and not only that, but I think we also had that fear of, like, is the online shop going to be really anything worth it? Like, is there really going to be games on the Nintendo Switch shop that I'm going to be in, that, oh yeah, I'll totally enjoy that?
Yeah, and even on that, like, my concept of the eShop, the only, like, concept I had of it was on the 3DS.
Yeah.
And I looked at it a little bit, but it was like, there's nothing in here I care about, like, that I really want to play or jump into. And I also thought, like, I mean, if you guys remember the 3DS shop, it's like very, the UI is bubbly and just like old school Nintendo-y feeling. And I just didn't like it. I didn't want to look at it. It felt old. And now they've updated, modernized the design of everything.
Yep.
And I mean, I spend so much, like, I feel like the eShop, for as simple as it is, has the most exposure for me to new games that I normally wouldn't play. Like, Steam does a pretty good job at it, but there's so many games added to Steam every day that it's really hard to keep up with what's coming out.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4 and Xbox, I feel like, both don't do very good jobs at helping you discover new games that aren't AAA titles.
At all.
But the eShop, like, it's always bringing up either through the news on the homepage when you first sign in or in the eShop itself with the new releases. I'm like, oh, what's this? Oh, I'm going to check that out. I want to look at this and add it to my wish list and stuff like that. Like, it's awesome. And, you know, the first like year. So let's look at the first 3 or 4 months. So we had Zelda, we had 1-2 Switch, we had Snipper Clips, we had Bomberman,
yeah,
that came out. Yep. There was a Fast RMX and stuff like that. A few of those games.
I still have flashbacks to Luis kicking my ass at PAX playing Bomberman. It was like, yeah. I used to be really good at that game. I used to think I was good at that game, and you fucking wrecked me.
So I can't believe I bought
1-2 Switch. Like, I legitimately bought it.
Yeah,
and I traded it in almost instantly.
Dang,
we got to play it a little bit.
I never even actually played it.
Because Luis bought it, like, I played it with Austin, which was fun, but yeah. I definitely thought, like, man, people spent $60 on this game. Sorry, Luis, but people spent $60 on this game. I mean, so not everything was a hit. There were a couple of 1-2 misses.
Yeah, and it's really weird. I'm curious to see a couple of 1-2 shits. Yeah. I'm curious to see what happens later with the controllers, because there hasn't been a lot of games to really put it full effect into the abilities of the controllers. Like, 1-2 Switch tried. We also had Arms that came out, which I think was a great concept.
Yeah.
But I just don't think there was enough content there to, there wasn't enough to keep me engaged for a long period of time.
Like, I think if you wanted to kind of show that kind of stuff off, like, I mean, 1-2 Switch did that, but it shouldn't have been $60. Like, if it was like, oh,
30.
Hell, no, I was even going to say, let's just go a step further and just literally
include it with the console
like they did with Wii Sports. Like,
that would have been a
good
idea.
How popular was Wii Sports when Wii Sports first came out?
Yeah.
It's actually like the best selling game of all time, or one of them. Yeah. I think top two
was Wii Sports. People wanted to play the boxing and the bowling and all that crap.
And that shit was fucking fun, dude.
It was fun.
My favorite GIF of all time is the one of the when you play tennis and you get up to the net and y'all swing the Wiimote really fast.
Yeah.
You can keep hitting it between each other forever. It's the funniest thing, dude.
That's awesome. Yeah. Something that I really loved about the console the first year is, like, you know, we didn't have a lot coming out, but there was just a slow trickle of just really good titles that were coming out that we either didn't know about it all, or were ports from other systems. Like, the Switch definitely was like the indie machine of the year, in terms of, like, we've been talking about Owlboy, and then Lovers in Dangerous Space Time coming over, and Stardew Valley, and all these games that were huge hits on Steam, but you don't want to lug your PC around everywhere to play these games, but they are so good for that kind of experience. And every month there was a Nintendo game coming out.
Yep.
And every month there was at least 15 indie titles coming out.
And not only that, but there was also every month there was another game that was a AAA game that was being ported over to the Switch as well.
Yeah.
Doom, Skyrim. There's, like,
basically Bethesda Wolfenstein had a big part of
that. Well, yeah, Bethesda games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're still talking about, like, games that I would never even be able to conceive being able to be played on this tiny little thing.
Rockstar burned over LA Noir. Like, that blew my mind when I saw that. Like, there are some interesting moves by third-party publishers. I think they're, like, testing the waters with the system. They're not making a new game for it yet, but they're, like, seeing how
can our shit play on this on this tiny console. And yes, it can.
It certainly can. Yeah. So that was awesome. Like, let's talk for a second, like, some of we'll talk about the surprises later on, but the fact that they did have, what really amazed me about Nintendo last year was that they delivered on pretty much everything that they said they were going to
do. Yeah.
Like, and the game developers did too. Like, Xenoblade came out in December. Like, that was a big deal for everybody that was into Xenoblade. They blew us away with Mario plus Rabbids. And we're like, hey, here's a game from Ubisoft that you didn't know was coming. And then 3 months later, it comes out. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
And that was a very good game.
And I say not just that, but it was a very popular and very well-received game.
And we got a Super Mario, which was incredible. I mean, two games that were like contenders for Game of the Year, Super Mario and Legend of Zelda, mm-hmm. both games that not only were just amazing games, but they were innovative, new takes on those games, and they were in the first year of the console release.
Yeah. It's like, and it's in its first year.
And you can take it with you anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think it's just completely changed my way of playing video games at this point.
Totally. And I mean, I've played more games with people in the same room mm-hmm. in the last year than mm-hmm. I have probably in the last 10 years.
And I love that. I love that if you see somebody with a Switch, you can just, it's kind of like, oh, you have a Switch? Dude, let me add you as a friend real quick.
Yeah.
Choose green diamond, add, done.
Yeah. And then let's get together and just like I got four controllers in my backpack.
Yeah.
Let's play right now, like hook it up to the screen. What I need to do is figure out a way to put my dock in my bag so I have my dock with me everywhere so I can like plug it in and like have it ready to go.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everything else is there. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I carry my dock around in a beanie. Nice. Works pretty well.
Okay. Nice. Nice.
Huh.
Good I'd point. Say dude if Kim.
Yeah.
Maybe I really want to buy a portable dock.
Yeah.
Don't think it can happen because apparently they brick your shit.
Yeah.
But I think that's like a next step. That would make the Switch even a little bit better.
I bet that's what the Switch is going to do this year is make something that's like you just have. I mean, it's just a USB-C connector. Just make a little stand that's about, you know, watching a video here about this big.
Just
and
boop.
Plop it in there. I mean, it doesn't have to like hold it super secure.
No.
It just needs to have a little bit of support so it prevents the, you know, makes it not move
hell,
too
they
much.
Gave it a teeny tiny little flippy thing in the back to hold the damn thing up, so it's not like it takes a lot.
Yeah. Easy done. Real quick, I want to talk about some of the negative. There wasn't many negatives.
There was not many negatives, but there were definitely some things that we are...
Yeah. We were expecting some online features, like Nintendo Switch Online. Well, I'm glad that it never came out because that saved me some money. But there's going to be a subscription fee eventually with Nintendo Online.
Yeah.
And it's not expensive. What is it, like $20 a year, I think?
It's not going to be a lot. It's not going to be like anything like your PS4 or Xbox Live subscriptions or anything like that.
So when that comes out, which I think they said, September of this year, we're finally going to see it. That's going to include a game a month that you can play or a couple games. That are basically rentals in a way.
A pseudo rental.
And then we have not much information on whether or not there's going to be a virtual console, but I know a lot of people want that.
That's the only, that's my only one that I really want. That right there is I just want my virtual console. That's it. If I have that,
Netflix.
That will be my perfect. Do what?
I just want Netflix.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then that would make my plane ride so much better because. I have to, I'm probably not going to be on planes as much anymore, but
yeah.
I can't use Netflix, dude. It could have been so perfect. Hulu's great on my Switch. I love it.
Yeah, I do use Hulu on occasion. Not as much as I
and
thought
that
I
virtual
would,
console, man.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're just like really, really thinking hard about how they want to approach that.
They probably are.
Because they have like Mario Versus and all that stuff.
Right.
But that's not, I just want to play like Super Mario 64 on there or like Ocarina of Time. Or fucking Banjo-Kazooie.
I
want to
play.
Like, how amazing would that would be?
Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past.
So much stuff.
Yeah.
All these games that I would love to go and play. Like Link to the Past, I never played.
God,
I
Brent,
know.
Why do you suck?
I don't suck.
That game aged really, really well.
Yes, it did. It's perfect.
And the last thing I want to mention in this part of the segment is less than a year. The Nintendo Switch has surpassed the lifetime sales of the Wii U, which was incredible.
The Wii Who?
The Wii
yeah.
Who?
Man, and I loved my Wii U. I mean,
it was good.
It was cool, like, to be able to, like, poop and, you know, be playing games and, you know, you had a little screen and stuff. Like, that was kind of cool. But now I can do that on my Switch.
Yeah. It's just the next level. It's the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wii U has some great games, but it seems like they're trying to kind of siphon those off of it. The only one that probably won't, because there wasn't a mainline Zelda on the Wii U.
No.
There wasn't.
There was.
There was the Breath of the Wild.
That one doesn't count. That's dumb, dude.
It came out, though. I'm just saying.
They're already bringing Tropical Freeze, which was incredible on that console.
Which one was that? What's
Donkey Kong Country.
Donkey Kong. Okay. I missed the entire Wii U, guys. Sorry. Anyway, let's go to the next part of this conversation. I want to talk about some of our favorite games of the Switch. Yeah. Now, let me preface for a second. We're going to avoid the discussions on the Zeldas and the Super Marios and stuff like that, because we've talked about those a million times
at
and
length.
How good they are.
At length.
But I want to go around the table and have each of us identify three games. We'll just go one at a time. Just three games. No particular order. Just three games that you're like, this game is worth it on the Switch, or just worth it in general, and you should get it.
Right.
That people may not know about.
Sure.
So, Devin, why don't we kick you off?
First and foremost, I'm going to kick it off with the Jackbox series.
Yes.
I mean, yes. You get the Jackbox games on, you can get damn near anything. You can get them on your PC, you can get them on your Xbox, you can
your
get them
Apple
on
TV.
Your Apple TV, but having them on the Switch, it's just another way to have a portable way for you and your friends to have just a fun time together doing some stupid fun games.
And I've used that a lot with friends that don't play as many games.
That may not play video games.
But are like, what are we going to do tonight?
Yeah, they want a fun activity.
Switch.
Let's play
the Jackbox
game. Yeah, let's have a couple of drinks. Let's have some dinner. And then we're going to go into the living room and everyone get out your phone, because everyone has their fucking cell phone with them.
Yeah.
Everyone can play a Jackbox game and you're going to have fun playing it, because it's stupid stuff like make a funny quip or draw a dick on a t-shirt. Something like
yes.
that.
Yes. That's a great stream game too. We should play that on stream.
That would be fun. We'd have a good time with that. We have a lot of people in the audience who'd be able to vote for all the funny shit that I say and then make fun of Brett.
No, that doesn't happen. That's a good game. I like it. I love it.
Thank
whole
you.
Entire series.
Thank you.
Louise, what would be one of your picks?
Mario Rabbids.
Yeah.
I picked it up again yesterday. I still very much enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's simple strategy, man. It's quirky, it's cool. And even if you're not a huge strategy game buff, I think this appeals to lots of people. So, I mean, when they announced it, I think we were all just kind of like, there's no way. Yeah. And it came out and it reviewed extremely well. I think it reviewed better than ARMS. I think it reviewed better than Splatoon 2. It's just a fun game. And a lot of people probably would think multiple times before buying something like that. But yeah. I don't think anyone should think twice if you've got the cash.
And that's another Ubisoft game, which is awesome.
That is another Ubisoft game.
There you go.
What about you, Brett?
Gosh. Well, you took two of mine.
Sorry.
Guys, thanks a lot. I got to do this one because I was obsessed with it. Golf Story.
Oh, yeah.
That game is awesome.
You really did enjoy Golf Story.
I did, because it's like a simple-ish RPG. It had some sports elements to it, the golfing. Very reminiscent of early stages of Pokemon, very much like Stardew Valley and the look of everything. And it's great. I still haven't beat it yet. I put 7 or 8 hours into it, but it's still not done yet. But it's a very cool, surprising new concept. It's a fun game to take your mind off of. Like, say you play Monster Hunter World, which is a very intense game that is exhausting to fight all these monsters. And then you jump into Golf Story and just move your little character around, hit some golf balls, talk to some funny people. It's really good. So,
wholesome fun.
Highly recommended.
Yeah.
And it was $20 or something like
See?
That.
See, that's not another expensive. Great thing about the damn Switch. All these games are coming out at a very affordable price.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right, so back to you, Devin. Number two.
Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, I was
brutal.
I see. Here's the thing. I was so nervous about Darkest Dungeon coming over to the Switch, because I was like, this game is a PC game. It just is. It just fits a PC game. What with the user interface, all the commands that you have to do, it may be simple for you to, want to do the whole point and click thing. But from a console standpoint, not just a console, but a very small handheld console, that's not exactly going to be easy. And here I am. Color me wrong, but this was so well done. And it's Darkest Dungeon like I've always loved. A difficult game, great art style, and it fits perfectly on the Switch. It just translates so damn well.
Perfect.
Now, granted, I die a lot.
Yeah.
I lose so many heroes. So many.
And they see that a hero can save us. I'm not. You remember?
I remember. Oh my gosh. I remember.
I remember
berries.
You remember?
Rest in peace, Tobey Maguire.
That's awesome.
You know that guy has a really bad gambling problem, but apparently he never loses.
Who, really? Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, Tobey Maguire.
I had no idea.
Huh. Yeah. Huh.
What a weirdo.
He steals people's money, like other celebrities at the craps tables and shit. Fucking Darkest Dungeon, man. I hope they bring over Hollow Knight and Fast.
Yeah, that'll be a great one.
Man, I think you'd really enjoy awesome. Hollow Knight. I mean, it's supposed to be. They've been talking about it, but.
Luis, what's another game for you, my friend?
I'm going to go with, not Snipperclips, freaking Stardew.
Yeah.
I don't think very many people, I mean, obviously Stardew's incredible and a lot of people have played it, but it's one of those games that a lot of people will look at and go, not for me. Even if it's not for you, I think it's for you. It's just, there's something therapeutic and just absolutely
I have to give you that point because
farming, dude.
I was so one fun. Of those people who said that that's not a game for me, and yet I found out when I finally did start playing it, 4 hours later, I'm like, wait, what time is it? Have I exactly. not eaten today? Oh, no.
It is rough, but it is so, so fun. Yeah. And really anyone, I'd caution against like, so for example, people who share their Switch. Got to be careful, man. Stardew is it's a time sink. If you want to play your Switch, I'd say don't introduce it to someone who may also want to play it because they will take it from you and they will play. But Stardew, it's only $20 and it's easily, the game could easily be $60 and I'd pay for that. Like, it's ridiculous. But Stardew Valley, man.
Hell yeah.
Two players coming out soon, too. Or co-op. Up to four people can play on the same farm.
What?
That's so cool. God, that's so cool.
We'll have to do that.
Love that. We can all make a farm together, and I'll make a lot of beer.
Yeah, oh yeah. Hell yeah.
We can call it, we got to think, the Inner Gamer Farm. That's lame.
That's yeah.
We just call it Pepperidge Farm. Or
yeah. We all have just t-shirts that say, we remember.
We remember.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
We remember.
We remember.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Brett.
Yes, so and it's getting hard now because like there's things that I want to mention, but a lot of mine are like couch co-op style games. I am going to say my next one will be Lovers in Dangerous Space Time.
Oh, very good choice. Yeah. Very good choice.
I want to mention like Overcooked is my runner up in this like Ooh. Category. However, there were some. For like frame rate issues with Overcooked on the Switch that made it difficult, but it's still a fun game, obviously, like on the Switch. I think it's great to get. But Lovers in Dangerous Space Time, like that's such an awesome co-op game. And I played it on Steam first and I liked it. But again, like this is a game that you need to have four friends to play with mm-hmm. or three friends or whatever, mm-hmm. but take it with you on the go. And it's such a beautiful game to see on that console. Because it's just the art style is great. It's very simple, lots of bright colors and everything, and I adore it. It's a very well done game, very challenging game, but a lot of fun playing with friends. And the controls aren't too complicated. You just move around and you press a button to sit down, and then there's a jump button, and then that's about all you got. So it's simple to maneuver, but there's a lot of depth to it in playing with everybody and doing all that stuff. So I love it. That's my second pick. Lover in Danger Space Time. Anyway, but not least, three, Devin, go.
Last but not least, I really don't think there's any question on what mine is. It's Celeste.
Hi, yeah. I saved that one for you.
Thank you.
I figured that'd be reserved.
For a game that was $20, I have sunk 45 hours and 12,000 deaths into it, doing all the collectibles. And, you know, difficulty of platforming aside and all of that, you know, you can say and praise all of that is all those great mechanics and level designs and the soundtrack, but man, that story was so good.
Yeah.
And I wrote an article about it, but it tackled some things that I think really speak to people who may have depression or have anxiety attacks or panic attacks and have to deal with those, and it gives a voice that I thought was so profound. The game touched me in ways that affected me both, you know, from just a gamer standpoint to a person who can identify with those things that people may struggle with.
Yeah.
So something I didn't even expect to enjoy, and here I am.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's definitely a highlight. And that's a new one.
That is a new one.
But it is a highlight in the world of the Switch.
So good. I highly, highly recommend.
Louise, number three.
Shovel Knight. Treasure Trove.
I still need to get that.
It has like four games in one.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's and they're all amazing. It's very good.
Like Scepter Knight is it Scepter Knight? I think that's who it is.
I think so.
The Scepter of Torment or something like that. Basically the most recent one. It completely reinvents the game. Like it's your platforming is different, everything is different. You know, there's Shovel Knight, there's I think it's like King Knight or something like that. So many games in one for $25, I think. It's an absolute steal. And in the same vein of platforming as, you know, your Celestes and your Hollow Knights and some of those other side scrollers. But I think it's perfect for anyone who enjoys Mega Man, for anyone who enjoys even Super Mario to some extent. Like it's such a good game. I think it's almost perfect, and the soundtrack is unmatched.
Yeah.
Unmatched.
God.
So I'd say
I really want you to play it, Brett, because he's not joking. The Shovel Knight soundtrack is I don't know if one comes close.
Really?
It's so good.
Man.
It's real good, dude. I listen to it on Spotify sometimes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Shovel Knight was really, when it came out, was really one of those games that influenced a lot of games that came after it.
Yeah.
Like your Hollow Knights came out and they all pulled from Shovel Knight. I mean Shovel Knight, which also pulled from, you know, like I said, your Mega Mans and stuff like that. I think it kind of ushered in the era of these kind of revisits to 2D, you know, difficult but forgiving and also very, very cool platformers like that. And that's why I enjoy it so much, and I think everyone has to play it. It's almost essential, in my opinion.
What came first, Super Meat Boy or Shovel Knight?
I think Super Meat Boy.
I think so. Yeah. Super Meat Boy came out. It's been a while since that came out.
It's been a long
2010, and I think Shovel Knight came out in 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, those are, I mean, two pretty different games.
Very different.
Shovel Knight came out in 2014, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Dang.
Wow, it's been, but that's 4 years ago.
It feels so much more retro than 4 years, though, to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game is great.
Yeah, it is.
Game is so great.
That's awesome. All right.
Your final pick?
Number three. This is tough. There's a lot of options out there, but I am going to go with, I think for its innovation and simplicity, Snipperclips. Just because,
I mean,
that's a good,
absolutely
clever,
absolutely
two-player game, four-player game, even.
Yeah.
When I got that game, I was like, I'm just gonna get this because there isn't a lot to play on here. But I really adored that game for its
for what it was.
Yeah. I mean, just like the unique abilities to work together on screen, on the shared screen, and all the puzzle challenges that came into play. And then again, it's simple controls, took advantage of the Switch's capabilities with, you know, having the Joy-Con sideways and everything and playing those levels to like rotate your character around and cut pieces together. And then like all the complex things you had to do throughout the game. And then doing the four player was just insane. Like that was so hard doing some of those levels, and they're still supporting it and stuff, bringing out new content and whatnot. So I think that's really good. I mean, for a launch title that, you know, just came out of nowhere. Very well done game. So
yeah.
Highly recommended. And that one, I think, is also like $20 or $30, something like that. It wasn't expensive.
All these games that are just like not going on the whole standard $59.99.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I love it.
It's great. All right, so last thing real quick we're going to breeze through this real fast because we're running a little over time. But most anticipated games or features, let's just do like two things. We'll just go one person after the other. What are some of the, like, let's do one game and one feature or two games, and that's it, that you're most excited about in the coming year or years from Nintendo. That sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So feature. I'm going to go ahead and say just apps in general.
Okay.
You know, I can't wait for a YouTube app. I can't wait for Netflix. I can't wait for an internet browser. I think the capabilities of the Switch as a tablet haven't been taken advantage of. I forget it's touchscreen a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I think there's a big opportunity there, and I think that by mid-year we'll start to see a little bit more of that stuff. As far as game, Project Octopath Traveler.
I need an RPG in my life, fucker.
I didn't know if you were going to pick that because there's a huge list of stuff. I'll switch it.
No, you're good.
Get it?
Yep, go for it. It's all yours.
Snap.
No.
Right. Yeah, it looks incredible, and I'm right in this 2D wave until I fucking die.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these good games coming out, so I'm looking forward to it. The demo was great. I played the hell out of it until I couldn't anymore, and it said, hey, you can't go anymore. I'm like, yeah, I figured. And 8 different storylines, that's pretty incredible. I mean, the voice acting is a little bit funny, but I still enjoy it. So yeah, that's me for sure. I mean, there's plenty to look forward to in general, but the Switch, man, it's in a wonderful position.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And a wonderful console. So well deserved.
I'll go next.
Go for it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So my game is probably going to be Super Smash Brothers. I definitely want to see that. I don't know when it's coming out, but I know it's coming. And I don't want it to be like Smash Brothers Wii U brought to the Switch. I want it to be some brand new, fresh, exciting
Smash Brothers.
Yes. I don't know when that's coming out, but I am really, really looking forward to the eventual announcement of that because I haven't played Smash in a very long time. I think Melee was the last one I played. Well, I guess Wii U when we did it at our events and stuff, but yeah. Like intensely, like a Melee was probably the last thing I played. I also want to, so as far as features go, I really want to see the games that we get to play that are like, I want a PlayStation Plus kind of experience on this where I can get for my subscription, get a game that I can download and play and try that I may not would have purchased, but
sure
would be able to get exposure to and be like, oh man, this game is way better than I thought.
Right.
Like, holy shit. I can't wait. So we'll see. We'll see when that comes. But that's what I'm most excited about.
All right. Well, for me, as far as these games that are going to be coming out soon enough, mine's Metroid.
Oh,
really looking
yeah.
forward to Metroid. Nice. That was my other pick. Yeah, I have. I've always loved Metroid, at least from the way back when, like the Super Metroid. So, getting back into a Metroid game, especially on this console, is just so exciting, and I can't wait to see what they do with it from the Switch standpoint. I hope, kind of Louise, as you mentioned, I hope that we see something integrated with the touchscreen, the full motion controls. I hope we get to see a lot of that.
Do you have any ideas of like just off the top of your head, something that they could do from a gameplay mechanic standpoint with Metroid Prime, with like the gyroscope or the touchscreen? Or
I think the touchscreen could be a great puzzle.
Okay.
I think like a connect the dots kind of puzzle of some kind using the touchscreen, I think that would be up my alley.
Be a lock picking mechanism.
Yeah.
Or like breaking into the security systems or something.
Something like that. Yeah. That's what I would think.
So another game or feature?
The next one would be a feature, virtual console. I just want it. I need it. I want it. I need it. I need to have it. So bring me back my opportunities to play ActRaiser from the Super Nintendo on my Switch, and I'll be a happy man.
You'll be a happy man.
I'll be happy a happy man. Child was what we can call it.
All right, everybody. Well, that's going to conclude our look back on the last year of the Switch. It's definitely one of our most favorite and most talked about console launches, probably of all time.
I haven't shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Let us know what you think in the comments.
Yeah.
Shoot us an email, hello@dnergamer.net. Give us your feedback. What are some of your favorite games? All that stuff. We'd love to hear from you. And that's going to conclude our discussion topic this week. If there's something that you want to hear us talk about, you can... hey, Charlie, how you doing? If there's something you want to hear us talk about, please let us know at hello@thenergamer.net. Don't forget to check out our video of this segment every Thursday at youtube.com/theinnergamer.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have two coming out this next week. One of which, actually, they're both coming out on March 13th. One is the Devil May Cry HD Collection for PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah.
This collection brings the first three original Devil May Cry titles.
Yo.
1, 2, and 3 Dante's Awakening Special Edition together in one collection featuring Dante, one of the most iconic video game characters of all time. It is Devil May Cry.
Do you ever play Devil May Cry?
No, I never have, actually.
What?
I might pick this up for that reason.
I like them.
You like them? Yeah.
I don't think you'd like them, but I liked them.
Yeah,
I like
them. If you play, if you like Bayonetta, you'll like Devil May Cry.
Well, that's another game I want to pick up is Bayonetta, is because now it's on Switch. I'm like, hey, I might give that a go. See what it's like. Give it a try. The other game we have coming out on the 13th is Golem for the PSVR. This is a game that I've been really excited about, and I thought it was coming out for the Oculus Rift, too. I'll have to look into that. But this game comes from some amazing people. Marty O'Donnell, the composer for Halo and Destiny, as well as game designer Jamie Grissomer. Worked on Halo, Destiny, and Infamous Second Son. They are making Golem. You play as an adventurous kid who has been seriously injured. You are stuck at home in your bed, dreaming of exploring the outside world. You gradually develop the power to create and control stone creatures known as golems. You see through their eyes, direct their movements, and use them to explore beyond the confines of your room. At first, you can only build small, doll-sized golems to send around your room, and eventually you can send enormous 15-foot-tall giants to explore an ancient abandoned city.
At first, it sounded like you were doing like the old Alfred Hitchcock, you know, I broke my leg and now I'm going to watch my neighbors kill the wives. And then it went to something completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
But that sounds cool. I mean, it's a pretty out there concept, but I've heard crazier games.
I mean, it reminds me, like, when I see the visuals of this, it's darker, but it reminds me of the visuals of Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, they're not as big. I mean, the Colossi are way bigger than a 15-foot golem, but it reminds me of that kind of look and feel and the art style and everything, so we'll see how it is. But, I mean, the people behind it are, you know, no real major description needed. Like, Marty O'Donnell is an incredible composer, so that'll be pretty cool. So that's it. That's going to wrap up our show this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcasts. You can visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend. And also, on Wednesday, March 7th, when you are listening to this, it'll be March 6th, you can come out to Fort Worth and join us at Bar 2909, where we will be playing some games, some board games, some card games, having some drinks, hanging out, enjoying the people. Hopefully it's not freezing cold outside.
Dude, it better friggin' not be.
It's supposed to be like 57 high, 36 low. It. But it's not gonna rain.
Just means we're all gonna snuggle up to one another.
Yeah, get out close.
It's gonna get snuggly.
No, alcohol makes you warm.
See, exactly.
He knows. I don't want to think about alcohol actually right now. I'm still a bit
hungover.
Shut up. Shut your stupid mouth.
So tell us about Patreon.
Oh, yeah, we have one of those, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes, we do have a Patreon, which is where you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the content you want to see and hear. Even something as low as just $12 a year, that's $1 a month, or a new feature we have, which is for you, the listeners, you can actually do a one-time donation of a payment of your choice. So instead
like
of doing $12 a year, or you could just do the one-time payment of $30,000.
Exactly.
Think of that. One and done. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Makes sense to me.
Right?
It makes sense to me. Yeah.
We need a van.
0% APR financing.
Zero down. Good credit, bad credit, no credit at all. No, okay. But yeah, please, for all of you out there, if you donate, you're helping us to be able to bring you all this content. So it's you, the fans, that we do this for. So thank you all so much for your support in any way, shape, or form. And if you want to know, head over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. With that's going to wrap us up. I'm Devin Dury.
I'm Brayden Oski.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
And you've been listening to
The Inner Gamer.
Good God. What the fuck happened? Jesus. Brett took his pants off. Luis is eating, like covering himself with fries.
Yeah.
And ketchup.
And ketchup.
Oh, God. Bounce, 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 bounce